Sherry, good afternoon. This is John Rockwell. I show 1:35 on the clock. Are we ready to start the meeting? And if so, would you please call roll?
Okay. On the telephone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Mr. Jacob Butcher, Staff Sergeant James Angel, Mr. Fred Miller, Mr. Travis Conant, Deputy Chief Keith Berrien, Mr. Chris Martin, Tech Sergeant Jeremy Cordova, Mr. Tim Woodall, Mr. David Brown, Mr. Tim Thomas, Mr. Henry Cole, Mr. Buckley Clark, Chief Pete Molnarek, Chief Bob Ciccarella, Mr. Sam Young, Mr. Clinton Rowland, Mr. Rick Williams, Ms. Erin Calwara. Is there anyone else on the telephone whose name I have not called?
This is Officer Nelson with the U.S. Forest Service. I just signed in.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, President Anchorage, I show Mr. Chris Letterman, Mr. David Reed, Mr. Jim Goodman, Mr. John Rockwell, Mr. Scott Stormel, Mr. Dan Nelson, Mr. Bruce Helenga, and guests from BK Technologies. Is there anyone else present Anchorage whose name I did not call?
No, Sherry, that covered it. Thank you so very much. And thank you for everybody to join the meeting today. At this point, the first item on the agenda is the review or approval of the August meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review those meeting minutes. And at this point, I would entertain a motion to approve. Jim Goodman, thank you very much for approval. May I get a second?
This is Henry Cole, I'll second that.
Thank you very much, sir. Any updates, questions, revisions to the meeting minutes for August? Hearing none, I deem them approved. The next item on the agenda is the review of the issues and risk log.
Sorry, John. This is Henry Cole again. I accidentally remuted my microphone. I do have a requested change to the minutes.
Yes, sir.
Dan Monteleone retired in July, so I don't know how protocol is for this, but that position will be vacant for the next little while. I don't know if you want to show that in the minutes or not.
I will correct that.
That's all I wanted to bring up. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. And I believe that we could still call them approved based on the updates. Is that correct, Sherry?
Yes.
Or do we have to have another motion?
No. We'll just say they were accepted with the changes noted.
Accepted with the changes noted. Thank you, ma'am. Moving on to the review of the issues and risk log. Sherry, do you have any updates that you can give us on the issues or risk log?
There are no changes from the issues and risk log from the August meeting.
Thank you, ma'am. And can you do the same for the action item list?
On the action item list, we are still pending the one item from the December meeting.
Thank you again. Moving to the next agenda item is the operations management overview. And I turn the phone back to Mr. Letterman. Chris?
Thanks, John. My first bullet point there, the GTR upgrade progress. Because Travis is on, I will defer to his report later on. I will only say, and I mean this in the most kindest way possible, they have been doing an incredible job of trying to get through this process before the winter weather hits up north and the bad weather hits in southeast. So they're kind of sandwiched right now, and they're working their tails off. So hats off to the SMO crew and Motorola for everything they're doing. I'll just continue on if there's no questions on that. Maybe I'll just suggest that if you do have a question on the upgrade progress, just wait until Travis has an opportunity to speak. So we'll move on to training. Those of you already have probably heard this enough, but the training manager that we had from July forward last year, Mr. Joe Quickle, has retired. Training has now been moved over officially to Katmai Solutions. That's Mr. Dan Nelson. And Dan's been working on the tabletop exercise that Joe started. That's some of that development is still progressing with the scripting out of the roles and aligning the individuals. The other thing that Dan is working on is, I'll call it ALMR administrative training. These are all the things related to agency responsibilities. So think of inventory confirmations, membership agreements, talk group sharing agreements, any of that like forms and paperwork that are required or responsibilities of the user agency. Dan's going to put together a quick overview of those for us. And I don't know, Dan, do you have a target for that since you're here?
Hopefully in the next 30 to 40 days. It's our first one here since we've taken over. So let us get a little bit of a thing under our feet. We'll get going on that.
Perfect. The other thing that I'll mention, too, that Dan is going to be working on is, and we're calling this right now, User Council Representative 101, something that is established in our policies, procedures, are the responsibilities of a User Council rep. But I think that that's one thing to have it. I think it's a completely different to have a mini training session that introduces you to what the responsibilities are as a rep to the agencies that you are representing on the council. I think a lot of folks get into this position because they either missed a meeting or they were late to a meeting, or they're the new person in the organization. So I think this is just kind of, let's bring everyone to the same baseline so that we understand what the rep's role is to the organization. And that's not to belabor the point that I recognize we're all volunteers on this side, but there are certain things that the rep position is very important in bringing things and issues to the council and to ultimately the executive council. Any questions on training? Okay. So one of the things that we were trying to do before the end of August, and we did make it, is get the coverage and prioritization survey, as well as the customer satisfaction surveys, out the door. Those were released on the 26th, so they should have came to your inbox. Again, they went out to the user agencies. I'm requesting that the user council reps check in with their agencies and make sure that that link to both surveys are shared widely across the agency community, because we really are trying to get a firm response from as many agencies as we can. Any questions on the outreach or surveys? Okay. Two highlights that happened in August, the APCO conference and the INTO conference were both held in San Antonio. During the APCO conference, I presented twice on some cybersecurity concepts of zero trust in land mobile radio systems. That was well received. I think many agencies that were in attendance are starting to take more heed to cybersecurity when it comes to public safety communications. And then some of the topics under the wireless communications technologies were FirstNet, obviously, land mobile radio and LTE interoperability, and the future of emergency communications with next generation 911 and P25 compliance, where that's headed. Under the MTUG conference, I will say this was extremely valuable for me That was held at the end of the conference week. That was the 18th through the 20th. And it covered all the product life cycles, new and coming products from Motorola, updates and feature sets, as well as the famed Motorola manager session, which I have never attended an MTUG, so this was very interesting to witness. The MTUG assembles a list of questions, and they put all of their top Motorola managers up on a stage, and the MTUG users essentially get to pepper them with questions for an uncomfortable 90 minutes. And it was interesting, and it was thought-provoking, because to see an organization as large as Motorola put those folks up there and be that kind of, unguarded, was really interesting to watch. And I was happy to say several things are changing from the Motorola side of things. And Scott, you probably have heard about some of that already. Any questions on any of those two items? Okay. The August document reviews, we were busy with the cybersecurity policy and procedure. We reviewed the privileged user acceptable use policy and procedure, the asset management policy procedure, spectrum licensing and management policy procedure, and the grant guide. So all of those have been pushed through and are getting refreshed up on the website. So check those out. One thing that I touched on a little bit earlier on was the user council rep's role, and the user council is sort of governed by what we call the user council charter. And I think it's fair to say that when we looked at some of the preliminary results from the survey, folks are indicating that they don't know who their user council rep is. So something that Sherry and I have been working on is devising a roster, if you will, that identifies the user council rep and the agency that rep is, I'll use air quotes here, responsible for. Now, our path forward on this is, after this meeting, we will be distributing that list to all the user council reps, and we're requesting you give us feedback. We want to make sure that the agencies that we have listed under you are actually the agencies that you think you represent or not. And if there are obviously agencies that you are representing that are not on that under you, please add them and help us get this list as correct as possible. Because what we want to do is then distribute this in September, so that folks know who their rep is, and your contact information will be on that list. So be looking for that. Any questions on that? Okay. Moving on to our August system metrics. For total call count, we had 1,187,410. That was down 26,000 calls. For push-to-talks, we went down a little bit. We had 2.2 million, down 56,000. We had 620 busies for the month, and that's down 430, and that's attributed to the fires being out. Subscriber count, we gained another 66 subscribers, so we're at 23,950 on the system. Again, I'll keep reminding you all every month, as you add new subscribers, please remember to call the help desk and get your old subscribers out of the system. We had 25 sites in July that were under 3.9s. And then on website traffic, we actually had quite a bit of traffic. We had 213 sessions total. 786 page views. That was up 42% from last month. And then 66% of those visitors were new to the site. So it looks like the website is finally starting to get some traction. Any questions on the metrics? Okay. John, back to you.
Thank you, Chris. Before I move on, any questions for Chris? Hearing none, let's move on to the next agenda item, the System Management Office Overview. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Conant. Travis?
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, I just wanted to update on the GTR upgrade and the progress we've made in the last few months. So yeah, it's been a real busy few months, but we're down to 15 more sites that we need to install the GTR at and remove the Quantars. So we made some great progress. The sites we have left are mainly Hilo sites and also Fly-To sites down in Southeast. So there's a big push to try to get these done, but you know, the time of year, it's weather permitted, so, and we're also losing a lot of, you know, daylight. So this next month, we're really going to push to try to get those knocked out. So this week, we're working on the two sites, the two Hilo sites around Cantwell on the Parks Highway. That'll be Byers and Reindeer. We're hoping to get those done Thursday and Friday this week, and then move on to finishing the parks and the few sites around Toke. So in the next couple of weeks, we should have all the sites done north of Anchorage, and then concentrate on the southeast and a couple sites on Kodiak, and to get those done. But kind of another from what Chris said earlier, I do want to thank Motorola and Articom. They have done a great job this last month, really pushing hard to get through these. So yeah, great job on their help, and also the SMO staff. Staying late, doing whatever it takes to support everybody out in the field. So they've been doing a great job on that. The other thing is, with all these changes that we're making on adding new antennas and the GTR upgrades at all these sites, please contact the help desk if there's any changes in coverage, good or bad. There should be improving out there. But if we see any kind of changes out there with you guys in the field, we'd really like to hear that from you. That way, while we're traveling around, we can test it out and troubleshoot a little bit better to make sure that the service is meeting a standard out there. Other than that, does anybody have any questions for me on the upgrade?
I don't think on the upgrade, Travis. Anything else from you, Travis?
No, that's all I have, John.
Okay. You know, I would like to echo something that Travis said. First of all, I would like to thank everybody that's been working hard and diligent on the upgrade process. I know that there's been tremendous late nights and early mornings and work and coordination and all that kind of stuff. One thing that I didn't even think about before you mentioned, Travis, is not only are we looking at high sites for weather permits for helos, but also daylight. You know, here we're going to be running into, you know, when you only have a 4-hour window of daylight, but you have a 6-hour project, you can't fit it. So how do you, you know, then that's going to have to wait for both weather and, you know, the daylight to turn around. So I hear great things about what you're doing, and I do also echo what you and Chris were saying, that thank you very much for that. So, again, any questions or comments for Travis before we move on? Hearing none, next agenda item is the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. I'll start with the state of Alaska. Mr. Stormo, you want to get started, Scott?
We've been making progress on filling our vacancies, so we've made quite a turnaround from our almost 10 vacancies, which was getting close to half of our staff, to down to 4 at the moment, and hopefully going to fill a couple more of those. I don't want to sound overly optimistic by saying that, because the reality of it is, you know, we had people who had been in this business for 20 or 30 years, and we're replacing them with, you know, people off the street that aren't necessarily in this business. So we're going to have, we've got some serious gaps in capabilities. We've had a lot of the new people out this summer doing kind of basic preventative maintenance at the sites to, you know, get them at least familiar with all the locations and familiar with some of the issues and things that they need to work on. But there are most definitely some things that we do not have the ability to do, and we are working to figure out how to get, you know, contractual support if necessary. As an example, right now we have a power line that appears to be having issues, and we most definitely do not have any linemen who can go find a break in a power line or whatever the issue is and try to resolve that. We didn't have linemen before, but we had people who had been putting power lines into sites for the last 30 years, so they were maybe not technically licensed to do that type of work, but they had been doing it for decades, and they were able to go out and find those issues and get them fixed. We don't have that anymore, so we have problems like that. The only thing good to say about that is there's not snow on the ground yet, because if there was, we would not be able to even attempt to fix it. So we're gonna, and this is on a mountaintop site, so we are working through challenges like that. And as I've said before, any chance to partner with any of the local user agencies around the state, whether, you know, you've got everything from ability to, Jim, help get some trees removed that had grown into the way of the microwave shot. You know, a lot of times it's easier for the locals to know who the landowner is, to know who the local tree cutter is, to be able to figure things out like that than it is for us to try to figure out who those people are and how to get that done. So just things as simple as that. You know, electricians that you may have available in your local government that could potentially help out if we needed some electrical work done at a site, any way we can partner like that, always open to figuring out how we can do that and work better together for this system that everybody is getting supported through. That is all I have, unless there's any questions.
At this time, I open the floor for questions for Mr. Stormo. Hearing none, we'll move on to the next presenter, Mr. Woodall. Tim, if you want to give us an overview of the UD.
Sure. I think the only thing I want to talk about is the where we're going with the Executive Council and looking into the fiduciary responsibilities of the infrastructure owner and member agencies under Alaska Land Mobile Radio. If you're not familiar, the infrastructure owners enjoined with the state of Alaska in a infrastructure operations and maintenance contract to provide services and also an additional contract for operations management. Those typically between federal agencies and state and local agencies, contracting requirements are drastically different, where under federal agencies, it falls under the federal acquisition regulation. And it's very uncommon for federal, state, and local agencies to share a common contract, which we do. The program is known and was passed by Congress in 2016, and it permits us to do that, the federal, state, and local agencies to share a Common Services contract was approved by a program called the Community Partnership Program. Community Partnership Program is a program where federal, state, and local agencies who have a common interest, a need for a similar service or the same type of service can co-join in a single procurement or contractual action for services. The program was very new back in 2016. In fact, we were one of the first to be involved in that. And on the Department of Defense side of the house, it created some significant issues because on our contracting side of the house is tied very closely to our financial management processes, and it's pretty much automated. And federal acquisition regulations require the process to be automated. They really don't facilitate a manual process for fixed firm price services types contracts. So we have run into some procedural issues related to that, and the Executive Council asked us to look into that and to develop a problem statement and then come up with a solution set. The reason I want the user council to know that not only DOD, but state agencies, and then any agency that is providing funds to meet your fiduciary responsibilities associated with Alaska Land Mobile Radio Partnership will be addressed through this process. But we are working on that process, and we'll try to keep you updated. It's very critical that we get it established properly, that we have the right policy procedures in place to do so, and that we can correct some significant issues we've had in getting this program to work for us. So that's the overview. The other, the second thing I'd like to touch for the DOD folks is, and of course, general information for the others that are interested. We all know that in order to be able to operate on Alaska Land Mobile Radio or in the Department of Defense or in federal government for that fact, to operate on a land mobile radio system that is a IP-based type of system approach, you have to have a certification, a risk management framework certification of some sort that looks at the cyber protection and puts in controls for that. We DOD are providing that for the system. We have a person on board that is part of the contract that works that process for us. We have an authority to operate. Now, our authority to operate is connected to the status of our system. And this, what I mean by the status of our system, that means, is our system up to date? Is it meeting all the requirements to comply with the controls? That requires us to have periodic upgrades. So what I'm trying to do is help you understand and tie the connection between the authority to operate on the system, in other words, the authority to use the system being sustained, is significantly and critically linked to your ability or your authority to operate. So that means that the system upgrades that we have planned and that are required through the lifecycle process have to be funded. And failure to fund them on any part of any of the agencies that are infrastructure owners creates significant issues with our ability to sustain the authority to operate. So as we come towards 2022 and the necessity to do an upgrade, I really want to push to each of you the importance of and the criticality of obtaining, ensuring that we have funding to meet the upcoming upgrade requirement. And if you don't have that funding, we really need you to let us know as soon as possible.
Well said, Tim. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that, because as we all know, we need to make sure that the system is updated to be able to keep within the framework and for us to move forward. Anything else, Tim, before we go on, that I'll ask for questions for you?
Oh, no, I'm off my soapbox, but I wanted to make sure everyone was tracking that and understood the significant importance to both being able to find a way that we can effectively meet our fiduciary responsibilities, correct the issues that we're having with it, and that these updates are not options. They are must complete requirements in order to sustain our authority to operate.
100% accurate. Thank you. Any questions for Tim or DOD?
Just a couple of comments. Tim, we still need to talk about your proposal and those outstanding invoices, but what he's talking about that I've found sometimes helps to explain it to other people that don't understand radio as much as everybody, understood that Windows XP eventually was no longer supported and everybody had to get a new computer, new operating system. Nobody questioned that. It just happened. Windows 7 was no longer supported by Microsoft. Everybody had to get a new computer, new operating system. Nobody questioned it. It happened. That's what this is like. We can't run on Windows XP when it's no longer supported. You know, we can't run on a version of this AMR system when it's no longer supported. I don't know why that's so hard for everybody to understand, but you know, think of it from that perspective, that nobody questions, you know, the operating systems from Microsoft having to be replaced and spending tens of millions of dollars on new computers, depending on how big your organization was. That's the same situation as what we deal with on this.
Yep, exactly. Thank you very much, Scott. And I'm really excited about the progress we've got going on right now with the upgrade for all the GTRs. We're looking at the new, you know, 20.20.1 version upgrade that would follow on that. I'm excited that, you know, we've got most of the funding already dialed in. I understand that there's still some questions regarding how DOD is going to pay, and even though the city, Moose Valley of Anchorage, has the funding, they don't have it. They don't have the contract yet, that I understand. So, but that will come quickly. All right, any other questions regarding those topics?
Yeah, this is Sergeant Coombs at Clear Air Force Station. I was just wondering if they'd had any funding figured out for Clear Air Force Station and how it's being paid.
Yeah, I think I can answer that for you. Air Force is funding the Air Force requirements. And I can get you a point of contact if you'll go ahead and send me an email, timothy.woodall.3@us.af.mil. If you send me an email, I'll connect you to the folks at PACF and up at the Air Staff that are doing the funding for the upgrade. They are aware of your requirements and the cost for that, and I'm pretty sure that you are consolidated within that process. Now that is for the upgrade. Any costs that you have associated with site maintenance or your contribution for systems management, operations management type of and our risk management framework type of support, that is separate, and you were probably being invoiced by the state, and we will need to check with you on making sure those invoices are paid. Again, it would be a manual process at this point, but we're working on a process to correct that, and we'll let you know when that's done. But I can fill you more in rather than keeping everybody here hanging on. If you just send me an email and a point of contact number, I can give you a call and talk you through it.
Copy that. Sounds good.
Any other questions for Tim? Hearing none, moving on to the next agenda item is new business. I'd like to start by handing it over to Chris. We've got a couple new items that we'd like to bring up, and then we'll open it up to the floor.
I do. First one is that at these user council meetings, we're trying to get a little bit of excitement generated. And one of those things that we think will help do that and bring in some interest and maybe some participation is at the end of the meeting, we are going to start a new feature where we are inviting a vendor to come and introduce either a new product, new service, new feature, life cycle, whatever they would like to share with us. So we've been working on that, and this is our first month that we will be featuring a vendor. That's BK Technologies. They will be joining us here after after we join and stop recording. And then I can tell you that for October, we have ICOM and ICOM/Iridium lined up to do maybe a demo, but they're definitely going to be talking about the presentation of push-to-talk satellite and ALMR interoperability. That demonstration took place about a month ago, and they're just going to reiterate that and kind of demonstrate how that worked and how they were able to make it work. And then we're still looking for, I'm still looking for November and December to finish out the calendar year. So I would say, When you receive the user council invite, do share that with anyone in your agency that might be interested in hearing about or learning about the new products, technologies that are coming out in support of public safety. And so that's that.
Excuse me, Chris, if I may,
yes, sir,
also add on to view this better. You know, it would be good if you actually logged into the Teams meeting for you to be able to see the PowerPoint presentations. I know some people are still just dialing in with the phone number itself. And so if you want to.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Part of the sort of the COVID pandemic SOP, if you will, we moved to Teams to support both this meeting and the Executive Council, which had just been teleconference meetings only. We're moving forward and we're gonna try and keep to that pace and provide Teams meetings and links. And so, yes, please, when you join over the computer so that you can participate in any vendor presentation that's occurring. That'll actually allow us to start driving the meeting a little bit more from a modern sense, and we can have the agenda displayed. We can follow along, and you can watch on your screen, if you will, as we move through the agenda. We just want to underscore that Teams is there, and it's really to benefit the organization going forward, how we use the technology, and you can't really participate if we're doing a PowerPoint if you're just on a teleconference. So do try to join over the Teams link that goes out that Sherry sends. Any questions on that? Okay. I guess the other new business item that I have to share is that I will be moving on from this role, and I'm taking a position back with the state of Alaska. That'll be effective October the 4th. However, I do have some parting good news. We have been able to work with a individual that I think most of you probably know and will recognize the name, that will be moving in to the OMO role, manager role, and that is Mr. Dan Nelson, who is actually sitting with me here today. And we will be working on transitioning for the entire month of September so that he is up to speed and, you know, all of his questions are answered. Anything you'd like to say?
I don't think so. And you're leaving me some big shoes to fill here, Chris. But I think we had a good meeting today, and that transition will be helpful. So we'll get that done.
Good. And that concludes my new business items.
Chris, thank you very much. And I want to just reach out and say thank you so very much for the effort that you put into the user council over the past, it has been almost 2 years.
Which never worked. kind of feels like it.
3 years. I don't know. This COVID year has got me all confused.
I know.
Sometimes it seems like it's been only, you know, a couple of months, but then I realize, oh, it's been a couple of years, you know. Is that? But thank you so very much. And we look forward to working with you on this. So we're still in the new business item. Does anybody like to bring up new business at this time?
Your turn.
How about questions? Does anybody have any questions for the group? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn the official meeting. Then we can move on to the BK demonstration.
John?
Yes,
John,
ma'am. Yes,
before
ma'am.
Before we adjourn, we need to do next meetings, please.
Oh, thank you. I'm so sorry. The next meeting is scheduled for October 6th and then November 3rd, in that order. And now I entertain a motion to adjourn. And Jim Goodwin, thank you so very much for the motion, and I need a second. David Reed, second? Oh, you can't?
No, I can't.
Okay. I still need a second. Any one of the members?
Second, Keith Berrien.
Ah, thank you, sir. So we're adjourned. We can stop the recording, and then we can quickly move on to the demonstration by BK.
Bell and Jones are dropping soon up.